one thing you can guarantee is that there's nothing everyday or circumspect about the fabulous subjects that are often used to be the basis of a Shenda Amory sculpture. Yes, originally developed in all manner of wonderful ways, having studied chemistry and then moving off to work in Tehran in 1959, generally settling over there and becoming an internationally acclaimed sculptress. We are delighted to say those magical words, Shenda Amory. Are you indeed there?
I am indeed. Yes, I'm here.
Fantastic. Delighted to hear you. Now, again, we talk about Richard Fitzwilliams being former international editor or editor of International Who's Who, but it's fair to say when you include King Hussein and Queen Noor of Jordan, Baroness Boothroyd, Dame Felicity Lott, Rabindranath Tagore, Anita Roddick, Claire Short, Mo Mola, Robin Cook, and many, many more, Svetlana Stalin, of course, amongst the subjects of your wonderful immortalizations, you've got some pretty interesting company there.
Actually, it was Svetlana Stalin's daughter, Olga, whom I sculpted.
Right.
Not herself, yes.
No.
Yes, and of course I did the two prime ministers, Margaret Thatcher and John Major.
Precisely.
So it's been I've had a very exciting time, really.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk about that and more, but I mentioned one of the fine folk there, Rabindranath Tagore, wonderful philosopher, writer, 150th anniversary, and indeed you were commissioned to produce something which was officially unveiled by Prince Charles last week.
That's right. And that actually was very exciting because, of course, Tagore was a great, he taught harmony and love, and he taught all about the looking after the world. In fact, Prince Charles said in his speech that he had taken harmony from Tagore as the name of his new book. And I think I've been very interested in what's happening to the world. In fact, I had an exhibition called Overcrowd, which was showing how man is destroying the earth by flooding it with people who are polluting it to such a degree that it's now becoming dangerous. And of course Tagore seemed to have understood this so many years ago, which is really quite amazing.
In so many ways we talk about balance and the importance of balance, and I must admit, again, looking at the range of things that clearly moved back to England after the trauma of Iran's recent history and so on, lots of fascinating areas come across there. I mean, I was looking at your website, which again sort of encaptures a whole range of things, and the thing I always am very impressed at with all sculptors, I mean, it's almost the Michelangelo approach, that, you know, how do you actually carve that there, where you actually see it and then you actually just chip away into or sort of organize until the manifestation emerges, presumably.
Well, no, actually I model, so I build up the image. I mean, I take the clay and I build up the image, and one sort of sees it in one's mind, and then one keeps building it until it becomes what one can see in one's mind. But there are two ways of sculpting. I mean, some people do in fact chip, but I am a modeler.
Either one, as long as we get there to quality in the end, I'm sure will be fine, Shenda. That's the crucial line. How did you actually become a sculptress in the first place? Was it something you'd always felt a passion for? I mean, interestingly enough, we share a kind of initial chemistry routine, because my first degree was actually in chemistry and biology, so it's
oh, really?
Interesting to connect that and just see where you went that. I mean, I went more into broadcasting and media as opposed to chemistry and so on. But
what happened to me was I wanted to see the world, and I was working at that time with May and Baker, the pharmaceutical company, and they had an outlet in India, and I asked them if I could go and for a short time and work in their outlet in India, which they arranged. But on my way, I visited Iran, and I was so fascinated by the country. I mean, it is such a beautiful country. I stayed longer, and then I was offered a position in Iran. I had specialized in physical chemistry, so I knew quite a lot about spectroscopy
and let's face it, without a new nuclear magnetic resonance scan to actually do a full NMR scan on what things are about, then life isn't worth living, really. That's the point there.
Anyway, I stayed there, and then I fell in love, and I married my husband, who is Persian, and I didn't leave until the revolution in 79. And then what happened, I mean, we were so upset at the time, we lost our fortune, And I couldn't. I had started painting by that time, and I couldn't paint really because I was so frustrated. And I started modelling really out of frustration. And then in 1981, I sculpted Maggie Thatcher. And so then I was a sculptor. Then I was sort of recognized, and I was in the newspaper and so forth. And from then on, you know, I have been sculpting all sorts of people. But recently, I reached a point where I felt I have to make a statement about what we're doing to the world. It's not enough just to be doing beautiful things. And that's when I had the exhibition called Overcrowd. With my sculpture showing, it was rather horrific actually, because I think what we're doing is horrific. But what is interesting about doing the Tagore sculpture was that I learned a lot about Tagore and his philosophy, and I'm thinking now I should be doing sculpture which actually shows harmony instead of showing agony and angst. What? I should actually be showing harmony.
Indeed. Now, I was actually going to suggest, how about doing something with respect to Krishnamurti, another wonderful Indian philosopher who certainly his education by dialogue is something we've applied in these shows over the last few years, really.
Indeed. That's also another aspect, but more in dialogue than in visual
We can have visual dialogue, Chanda. I'm sure we can develop
what
that.
What a good idea.
Yeah. As a lovely quote on your website, which is, a doctor may give you 20 years, but I will give you 4,000 years.
At least.
Yes, exactly. Yes, I think I'll go with that. And in the studio, we have two fine folk who've been with me this morning and today, actually, in the press day of the Great Yorkshire Show. Of course, Prince Charles will be attending the Great Yorkshire Show this week with the Duchess of Cornwall to officially visit on the second day of the show. But we have Leslie and Francesca Furman in the studio. Leslie, any questions for yourself? Because obviously, as a fairly wide-travelled soul yourself over the world, really. Any questions for Chanda?
Hello there, Chanda. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah.
I was wondering, first of all, I was going to ask you that it was quite a difference between the fact that you'd studied chemistry but got into sculpting, but I was fascinated as you were discussing that journey. Can you tell me, you've mentioned that you sculpted Margaret Thatcher and John Major.
Yeah.
Do you actually have somebody in front of you? You know, if you're painting and you've got your subject sitting in front of you, do you need to do that when you're sculpting, or...?
Yes, I mean, unless the person is dead, and then, of course, I have to make do with photographs and images and things people have said about them. But otherwise, they do sit for me. John Major sat for me at Downing Street. I have four sittings. I have one sitting when I have a photographic session, and then I have three sittings with the clay. In other words, I work on the clay before the first sitting, and then I have three sittings of 1 hour each with the clay, when I can compare it and, you know, work with them and try and get some of their character into the piece. You know, I'm not just doing a likeness, I'm trying to get it alive with their feeling in it. So that's how I work.
I'm particularly impressed with the image or the photograph of Betty Boothroyd obviously being presented or seeing her bust that you've produced for her, obviously, and her thing. And she's almost singing the joys of spring, basically, sort of matching the whole thing through. Wonderful sort of piece there.
Can I ask another one, Alex? Sorry, Chanda, go on.
Yeah, she was extremely nice. What we did there was she allowed us to set up a studio in Speaker's house because she was the Speaker at the time. And that was great fun to be able to go there and work and come and go and so forth. She was very, very, very interesting and strong woman.
Well, so she should be as Speaker of the House of Commons. She kept them in order. There was no question about phone tapping in those days at all. It was step into a different line. Yes, Leslie, other question.
I was wondering, Chanda, is there anybody that you'd actually like to sculpt? I mean, obviously, it goes without saying you'd like to do a sculpture of Alex.
I don't think that's even on the equation. It's the first time we've met formally. Goodness me.
Seriously, Chanda, is there anybody that you'd like to sculpt?
Well, I suppose, you know, to sort of complete my list of prime ministers, it would be very nice to do David Cameron, I think.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Nick Clegg, I suppose, as deputy, would he sort of get a mention? I mean, I'm sure he'd like to be sculpted, really.
Actually, it'd be quite interesting to do the two together.
Precisely.
Because it would make a historic piece. In fact, I thought it would be nice to do... Remember when they were in the garden at Downing Street?
Yes.
I thought it would be lovely to do the two of them in that pose. Remember David Cameron is sort of turning round and looking at Nick Clegg, and he's walking, they're both walking down. I thought that would make quite a good... historic piece. I mean, it would be quite an historic piece, wouldn't it?
In fact, if I'm going to be mischievous, you could actually include that in the section of the website entitled The Primal Beast. perhaps not. It's a different line, but there's a Bedouin proverb that you lead with respect to that, and God took a handful of southerly wind, blew his breath over it, and created the horse.
Exactly.
It's fantastic.
Yes. In fact, the horse was the first sort of political piece that I did, because I did... two horses, one was sort of biting the other one. They were both Arab stallions, and they could easily have been interchanged. And I called it the Scream of the Arabs, meaning that there's really not a winner. You know, that the aggressor and the victim are interchangeable. That was the first. I did that when Saddam Hussein was fighting the Kuwaitis. Some time ago.
It is an area where somebody has obviously lived over there. I mean, I've spoken to colleagues who've experienced both Iran and Iraq. In fact, we have a regular computer engineer who's over at the University of Lincoln, actually, from Iraq. And as is often the case, people are alike all over. Do you sometimes despair with respect to the ideologies which have led to so much challenge, so many challenges and so much pain in those particular regions, Shanda?
Oh, I do despair. I do despair. Yes, I despair for man. I mean, I think greed is so prevalent in man's world today, and compassion seems to be on the back burner. Money, everybody seems to be rushing after money. I mean, they can't take anything with them.
This is
what's so funny, you know.
Precisely.
It seems to me that, you know, they're running after something which is never going to be there.
It's that pursuit of the intangible.
Absolutely.
Often by the unsufferable, but never mind, that's a different line. I'm not going to Oscar Wilde at this particular
point. I was going to say, we can't leave Oscar Wilde out.
No, precisely, exactly so. Anyway, Leslie, another question for yourself.
It's just a thing, you're talking about greed there, Shendra. I actually happened to live in Iraq for about 3 months, some years ago now.
Whereabouts?
In Baghdad.
Oh, yes.
But it's at the time before all of the big posh hotels had been built. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I remember we went across into a stationery shop just to buy stuff like a few pens, notepads, all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the shopkeeper point blank refused to take any money for them. He said, no, please, it's my pleasure. Please, allow me this honour. Mm-hmm. Now, where else in the world... I've never found that anywhere else in the world. And that always sort of... it's a very strong memory for me. Because where else have you ever found that?
The people are wonderful. I mean, the Iranian people, if one goes into a village, they will look after you. I mean, they will feed you and love you and look after you in a way that, as you say, where else in the world would they do that?
Yes.
I remember we arrived in Isfahan about 6 years ago, I suppose it was. We arrived down in Isfahan, and we hailed a cab and said, we'd like you to take us around today. Anyway, at lunchtime, we said, take us to a certain place for lunch. And he said, oh, no, he said, I'm taking you home. My mother is going to cook lunch for you. And, I mean, we didn't actually go, but in the evening when we were going back to the airport, he came with the taxi and his mother and lots of platters of all sorts of Isfahani sweets and different sorts of sweets and cakes and things for us to take with us. I mean, we left the airport hugging these total strangers. I mean, it was absolutely wonderful.
Sounds fabulous.
Yeah. I do like the quotes that you've included in your website. Again, it's shendaamory.co.uk, just in case people are taking attention from that point of view. But the Oliver Wendell Holmes issue, it is the province of knowledge to speak, and it is the privilege of wisdom to listen.
Yes, it's a marvellous quote, isn't it?
It is, and somebody who's been doing an awful lot of providence of wisdom today, because she's been listening a lot, is our young workplace. But of course, this is Francesca Furman. Francesca, any questions that you've got for Shanda?
When you first started sculpting, was it hard to learn how to do it, or did it just come naturally?
I think it more or less came naturally. I was doing it we had a flat at that time, And I was doing it in the flat. Of course, it's jolly messy because you're working with clay. But I found, you know, everybody that put their head in the door practically got sculpted in those days. I suppose I was very frustrated having, you know, come out of a revolution and lost my home and so forth. Mm. But I was like an ostrich. I just stuck my head in the clay and went, you know, and really it's enabled me to survive, you know, the difficulties of life.
Mm-hmm. Again, that sort of therapeutic aspect certainly comes across in the work, and presumably it's also cathartic as well to a certain extent. It's how artists can express themselves and express their interests by actually allowing at least the creativity to actually come out and be developed.
Oh, completely, completely. I mean, it is an amazing thing. It is an amazing thing.
Absolutely.
Because you lose yourself in it. You know, once you start, each new piece is exciting.
Yeah.
And once you've started it, you're right into it. And nothing else really matters.
Mm.
And I'm very lucky because I've got a wonderful husband who really encourages me. In fact, he taught me originally how to paint because I was, as you know, I was a chemist.
Mm.
And I broke my leg at one point. And he said, well, why don't you paint? And I said, well, I can't paint. And he got me started. And never stopped.
I can sense a movie already being developed along those sort of lines. It's brilliant stuff from that point of view, from science to Iran, from science to Tehran and so on, and a whole range of things from that perspective. Chandra, it's been absolutely fantastic just connecting with your good self. A reminder, of course, that the bust of Rabindranath Tagore, officially unveiled by His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales last Thursday in Gordon Square. Presumably people can actually view that online if required, or can they put... When's the next Chandra Amory exhibition coming up?
Well, probably next year, I should think,
mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Yes, they can see it in Gordon Square at any time. You know,
yep.
Just drop over there.
Right, exactly.
Very exciting to see it there.
Rich...
So the other thing that I did, which is quite exciting, I did the Ambika Fountain in Regent's Park Zoo.
Of course, yes.
That was quite an exciting piece,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Is it the bottom line, Chandra, without you actually providing those Londoners with some wonderful landmarks and pieces of art, their lives would be so much more dull and uninteresting. So, yeah, it's a social service. That's the important thing.
Well,
fantastic.
Thank you for that.
Chandra, it's been fantastic connecting with your good self today. Two final questions. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us here on the Midweek Drive for both Siren FM and Southside Broadcasting?
Oh, absolutely. It's been fascinating.
Excellent. So the next crucial question is, can we look forward to connecting with you again in the not too distant future, and who knows, maybe even popping down to London and doing a little location feature with your good self?
Absolutely. And I mean, maybe you'd like to come to my studio one day.
I think that would be fantastic.
And you can see some of my work,
yep.
which would be interesting for you.
Exactly.
Yeah, you must do that.
It's always great. We'll coordinate that. Chandra Amory, sculptress extraordinaire and former chemist, we salute you. Many thanks indeed.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.